Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Atalanta Pod, Season 5, Episode 12. It's me, Dan, from Atalanta, Vegas. And as per tradition, from Atalanta Passion, Nick. Nick, we are recording on a Friday, which is not normal for us, but we play tomorrow, which is Saturday. So we got to get this thing out there and up so people can listen to it before the Sampdoria match. How you doing, buddy?
Most definitely. Yeah. We have exciting Friday night lives sitting here recording a podcast, but at least you have a little more daylight ahead of you to go do something tonight. But this is my Friday night, but I'm good.
To be fair, I did go out last night. It was one of my friend's birthdays, and we went out to a restaurant and like a bar, and of course, all things Vegas. The bar is attached to a casino. Next thing you know, it was midnight, 12:30. My friend is winning big on her birthday, so yeah, I had my Friday night last night, so.
Nice.
Made work a little tough this morning, but we do what we got to do.
Indeed, always.
But we got a heavenly host of things to discuss. We have our Coppa Italia win against Spezia that we're going to briefly cover. And then, of course, that big match at the weekend against Juve. And we have Sampdoria coming up at the weekend. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And maybe if we have some time, talk a little bit about almost a non-existent transfer market that's happening right now with
Been coming in,
Atalanta
out,
and
going.
yeah, with Atalanta and just about in Italy as well. Maybe even Europe, it seems pretty slow, to be honest with you. So if you take Chelsea out of it, nobody's doing any transfers this winter.
Pretty
So
much.
yeah, maybe it's because of the cost of eggs. I don't know, Nick. But we'll see. But Nick, we're through to the quarterfinals of the Coppa Italia. We have Inter up against us, but we had a plucky Spezia team who, on our first match of 2023, we had to come from behind to gain a point. This game, of course, was at home at the Gewiss. We talked a little bit on our last episode about who we thought Gasp was going to play, especially because Juve was at the weekend. And if you look at the starting 11, there was a couple of surprises. So, let's go through the starting 11. We had Musso, Gymsidi, Palomino, Scalvini, pivot of Ederson and Cope Miners. We knew Cope Miners was going to play, especially since he was suspended for the Juve match.
Exactly.
But remember when I was brushing my teeth and I said, Hans is going to start against Juve. And so we thought maybe Brandon Sopi would get a look, but it was, in fact, Hans starting on the right wing and Joachim Mele on the left wing, which incidentally was the same starting wing backs against Juve as well. And we had Duvan up top with Boga and Lookman supporting in attacking midfield. Surprises, Nick, in this starting 11?
For Copa, I guess not. Maybe Hatabor and Mele, as you mentioned. You think maybe this is a Zortea-Sapi game. But I think with the Cup Miners suspension, as you mentioned. And you know what? Now that I think about it again, this game feels so long ago, and it really isn't. But I think the fact that we saw Boga and Lookman as the starting pair, but I think I even predicted
Pasalic.
Pasalic, Muriel, Zapata, front three, and got one out of those three right at the end of the day. And they played 90 minutes. No, Boga didn't play 90 minutes, but Lookman played 90 minutes in that too. So no rest for him at all.
I think the big surprise to me, something that we forget because, and of course we know Hans had a goal in this game, so that's beside the point. And we know Mela had a goal against Juve. But Hans Hattabor, Capitano.
He was the most senior member, I guess, in this one to start.
I guess it's one of those things that, captain's not necessarily just going to go to the most senior member because I think we've seen Paolo with the captain's armband. He's been with the team for a while as well. But, I think especially when we look at the context of the Juve matches, we give Hans a lot of crap because he's been quite poor, especially since his injuries. But he is a leader on the team, I think. So hopefully his good form that he started to show in this match and carried over to Juve continues because it's good to have Hans back, a good Hans Hattabor.
Yes. Yeah. He can be effective as he was he was effective in two different ways in the last two matches.
Yep.
That would be key. Definitely. Yep.
So we score 8 goals against Salernitana. We score 5 against Spezia. Nick, I think it's not necessarily fair to compare the two matches, because I think Spezia was quite good in this match, especially in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
But we scored, you know, a beautiful goal from Ademola Lookman, right? Gets it. I thought Scalvini was going to get that header again like he did against Salernitana, but it was a little off, and Lookman was at the far post to knee it on in. And then a couple minutes later, here's Lookman again on a lovely give and go from Duvan Zapata, who I thought, Nick, was quite good in this game. I mean, he hit the post. He had, what, 2 assists, I want to say, in this match?
2 assists. Yeah, and like it was like some like fancy footwork link up play in the box that we really haven't seen from him before.
Yeah.
But I'd much rather have him there duking it out, trying things out, than just going out wide on the left.
Yeah.
Had often been what he was doing.
When I saw him receive that ball for that second Lookman goal, for the second goal of the match, with his back to the goal, pretty much inside the penalty box, to me, I know that this is a really good goal scoring chance, because that was the positions that Duvan would get in, and whether he would turn and shoot or he would lay it off. It's what we haven't seen from Duvan for probably about a season and a half. He's not getting deep into those positions, muscling up. I think he was up against Kivior, who, you know, after that game shipped off. Where did he go? The Premier League or something?
Arsenal.
Yeah, he went to Arsenal.
So there's, yeah. So it hasn't been that quiet, I guess, in Serie A, but for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, so we're up 2-0, and then Albin Ekdal comes. We definitely see our defensive frailties on that goal. I think Ederson really lost his mark. And when I'm thinking, okay, running with the ball, strength, I'm picking Ederson over Albin Ekdal, but that's not what happened in that. And I know that you had some criticisms about Ederson. What did you think of that goal, and what it said about kind of our defensive frailties?
I think that goal is sometimes a goal we have to just clench our teeth and accept sometimes, because of just how open it can be.
Yeah.
But that one's at the same time, that one, there was enough time, I think, to clean that one up and ensure that it didn't happen. So Ekdal had a lot of running to do, and Ederson got lost his awareness a little at the start, letting Ekdal continue on. I don't think it was a give and go, but like it was a nice play set up by Spezia. No shame, or got to give him credit where credit's due for that. But he got muscled off the ball. Like, Ekdal has to worry about controlling the ball with his foot and muscling Ederson off, and he's successful at both of them doing those to get the shot off. You would like to see Ederson do a little better in that situation to close him off, especially when he's inside the box like that, deep inside the box. So, unfortunately, poor individual effort that led to that one, I feel.
Yep. I think that you know, our defensive frailties are there, and kind of like you said, something that we have to take because it's open. This is Atalanta football that we got used to in our glory days a few seasons ago, where we were scoring a lot, but we were also conceding more than the average, strong team. So it's frustrating, but you know, we got to this point, right, Nick? I was kind of reflecting about how we were when, you know, we finally got to the Champions League. We had scored like, 98 goals, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to the Champions League and we're getting beat up. And we're saying to ourselves, okay, we got to learn how to play in Europe. We got to tighten it down, you know, and then we figured it out in our second season of the Champions League pretty much, right? Or, you know, when that Liverpool match, you know, the Ajax match, where we were able to do those types of things. And of course, that kind of precipitated, I want to say, like, especially after Papu and then Ilicic kind of lost his luster, a much more pragmatic and less attack-minded. And we saw that in the first half of this season. But I want to avoid getting back to where we were, I think, because we were all kind of saying it, where We were like, oh yeah, we're this attacking force, but we need to worry about, we need to figure out how to close out games and not get conceded. I just want to enjoy this right now that we're scoring goals, because it is a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and and we can, I think there's something to hope and dream off of now, because it feels like a legitimate attacking trident with basically three brand new players. Cause this is a brand new Jerry Boga, and one we didn't have at all last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. Like the Champions League is a good point, because it's like a different breed of football, but maybe the squad knows, spitballing a little here, obviously, but the squad learned how to learn win dirty, ugly matches like 1 through 12, right, of this year. Puts on this crazy offensive form, at least since 2023 started. Can we blend the two together to be the best of both worlds? I think that's obviously the dream for any team, and we've shown we can win both ways. And maybe there's just, maybe we need a month or two to figure out how to make both of those work in unison, to figure something out. That's what the hope and dream is. I'll be optimistic, and hopefully we say we can get there.
Yeah. But
never know.
Yeah, that's a dream. I think part of it too is, can we turn it on and off in a game, or do we approach a game differently? Like, what does that look like?
Which I think we didn't, but we can get to the second half of Spezia. I think maybe this was a good indication of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, nothing says Atalanta is back than that third goal, because again, that was some good play with Duvan Zapata, and the return ball looked like it was supposed to go to Joachim Mele, who was quite advanced, but it actually ended up getting to Hans. So your two most forward players, with it like almost to the 6-yard box, are your wing backs, and Hans calmly slots it at the near post.
Yeah,
left with his left foot. Like, yeah, what is going on?
And I'm trying to think how is it Mele and Hans that are both on like the same side of the pitch, like duking it out for that ball? But I just rewatched it. Yeah, Mele's coming up through the middle. Hans is further off onto the right hand side, and wing back to wing back. Matteo Bonetti would be proud, right?
Oh, it's back.
It's back.
The Bonetti special is back. It's wing back to wing back. I mean, it was it's an omen of things to come. You know, here we are. We're up 3-1. But of course, you get another illustration a few minutes later, 10 minutes later about, where there's just a kerfuffle in the box and Verde basically just slots it past Musso. Just some poor defensive marking. Even though we had the numbers back there, it wasn't like there was, it wasn't like necessarily a break per se, but it was kind of like this hectic, and there was like some confusion. I have to say Palomino didn't look great in this match. I wonder if he was illing, because before he left the Juve match, he was also looking like a real liability in the back. So he was probably already feeling something in this match. Exactly.
Some twinge on the hamstring already. Yeah, and I'm literally rewatching that second goal as we speak. And how Tabor missed the mark. Kovalenko made a run into the box. I think Tabor and Scalvini both followed him, and it left whoever their left wing back was to go in there and then make the decisive pass. When it's franticness that happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
A little better awareness maybe would have helped to ensure that one didn't get as far as it did. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm feeling a little bit annoyed.
Me too.
But I'm not feeling like this is gonna be a problem. You know, when you score at will, like we have been in the past few games, you feel like, okay, hopefully this isn't going to be a thing. I don't think I was confident that we wouldn't blow it in the second half. But the first half ends 3-2, five goals in the first half. Exciting match of football. Two goals from Ademola Lookman and one from Hans Hattabor. And, we go into the second half, Nick, and I just want to fast forward to that Rasmus Højlund goal, because that was awesome. I mean, it was like a triple bank shot. It hit like the crossbar and both posts.
Yeah,
I feel like and went in. That was, we have forwards and strikers who have something that we haven't had in a long time, and we're clinical finishers. Mm-hmm. In the past, we've scored a lot of goals because we've created tons and tons of chances. And of course, Muriel, we had Muriel in that form, and even Duvan in that form, and Ilicic in that form, you're going to score goals. But I don't think those three greats at their prime are even as clinical as these, as Lookman and Hoyland right now, when it comes to, you know,
yeah,
shooting, you know, their shot percentage, essentially. So,
yeah, maybe you make a case for Muriel and he's really feeling it, but these guys are, they're on fire right now. Yeah. And Hoyland, the angles he scores from have been, have been quite remarkable so far. And this one's no different. Maybe the toughest angle he scored at, that right footed shot he had against Spezia was, he got a little help from the keeper, which was a tight angle. But I think this was probably the best of his goals he scored so far.
I think so. At the end of the first half, Duvan had a shot from kind of the other side, from his right foot side, and it hit the post too. But of course, it didn't clank off the you know, the other two posts and go in. It just was off, and I felt like Duvan really deserved a goal in this match. He didn't get it, but it just kind of shows the difference in like, you know, the minuscule inches of how Hoyland is with how accurate he is, and Duvan has always had issues with his, you know, his clinical finishing, despite being such a great forward and an important, you know. And I want to talk about Muriel, but I want to finish up with Duvan, because of course he did not feature against Juve because he was injured. Correct, right? We didn't see him.
Yeah, he wasn't even on the lineup sheet. Yeah. Likely injury. Yeah.
You and I are both gotten to the point where maybe it's time to move on with Duvan, right? And I had been saying this for a while. And then Gasperini comes out and says, shut the hell up. This guy's done so much for us. And I'm like, oh, great. Now I feel like kind of like an idiot, but I think we're all right. If there's a market for Duvan, I think it's probably worth it. But it was nice to see, because maybe, I don't think we don't know that Duvan contributes other things than scoring goals, but now it's okay because you have guys who are actually scoring goals. Mm-hmm. When Duvan is like your main option and he's not putting it in, we're in big trouble. You know, and yeah, would I love to keep Duvan? Hell yeah. Are you kidding me? How great would it be to have Duvan Zapata all the time? But I wish he had scored a goal in this match, but he had what, two assists?
Two assists and hit the post. And yeah, and I think the general consensus, or that general sentiment among the fan base, was this was his last Atalanta game, because the rumors of Everton and Forest and I think West Ham were, they weren't. They were obviously a lot weaker than we thought they were. They felt decently strong, like, okay, maybe something really is going to happen. Obviously, a lot changed in 10 days.
Yep.
But yeah, heck, it feels like we're keeping him all year, and he'll have chances to make impact again. Yep. Maybe there'll be some pressure off him now that he's not, because like you said, he's on. If he's the only offensive outlet, he's previously and recently, he wasn't just asked to score, but also to be the main funnel for which the offense would move forward. So that feels like a lot to ask for one person. But
yeah,
if Boga is really on with the form that he's shown, and Lookman keeps up what he's doing on the opposite flank, I think it just makes everybody's job easier, right? It makes the entire team's job easier, but most definitely the center forward, who tends to be in the middle of those two guys.
Sure. I want to talk about the other Colombian, because he came in for Jeremy Boga, and I thought that he, in Jeremy Boga's position, if you want to call it, I don't know, like a mezzala, or like kind of like a right attacking forward and not as a central striker, I thought he brought something different that Jeremy Boga doesn't bring. And I'm still okay, of course, with Jeremy Boga starting with Hoyland and Lookman. But in this match particular, you saw Lucho be a little bit more mobile. He would come in, you know, deeper. At one point, he collected the ball, halfway, and started running. We kind of have seen a little bit of this Lucho in the past, but I like having Lucho in this role. So as much as I love Jeremy Bogan, I think he's the right player to start. I would love to see Lucho get more minutes, you know, in that role together with Hoyland and Lookman, because it was his assist to Hoyland for that fourth goal. You know, and I think it was almost his, was it almost his assist on that fifth one, or was somebody else?
It would have been if it didn't end up being the own goal.
Yeah.
When Ampadu just had it clank off his chest. So yep. That would have been Muriel's second assist. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was really, really good. I think our attack has got all sorts of good things going for it. Now when Lucho and Duvan are not seen as the main source of goals, and they can come in and kind of just do whatever, almost whatever it is that they want to help out, that's really fun. Dangerous.
Yeah. And I think we've seen this from Lucho this year, even like against Fiorentina and Udinese. Those two matches stick out in my mind. He was more creator to Lookman being the finisher than anything. And we only scored a total of 3 goals in those 2 matches, but everything came through Lucho in that left-hand side in those matches. Yep. So I agree. I think it's a really good role for him, because when Lucho's running at you, like, it's pretty scary. Like, you don't know what he's going to do. And yep. Even if you get a foot out, chances are he'll win the 50-50 and he'll just keep on going without losing steam, which is what he tends to do.
I mean, we really poured it on in the second half. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. We ended up winning 5-2, and we really shut down the opposition. They didn't get too many chances. Lucho almost had a goal, but it was a great save by the goalkeeper. It was a nice little shot from the top of the box.
If you don't mind me saying quick, I think Daron coming in for Ederson really helped.
Yes.
It may, because like it was 3-2. It's like, this can go either way. Like, yeah, oh, yeah, feels like this game, that's this a big game one. Can end 6-4. Who knows? The way it's going. And I think that was the point I was making a little earlier. If you can blend that offense and defense somehow, Daron came in. The nerves went away pretty quickly, thinking that Spezia might mount an attack to get a third equalizing goal, because it took us 26 minutes to score in the second half still. So it was pretty dicey until that Højlund goal. And I think we'll talk about Juventus. Danilo gets the goal. Things calmed down again. The defense looked good again. So mm-hmm. I think that's something that we're building towards a little bit. Mm-hmm. Daron helps a lot with that for sure.
I know you're pretty high on Ederson, and I think we all are, mm-hmm. and we can definitely see the upsides, but what does he bring to us when he's in the lineup? Like, is it worth having him in there instead of Daron?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
If Colt Miners is there, you have to have Daron in, I think. I think if it's Daron and Ederson, that can work a little better, because it's more of a defensive midfielder in the room, central midfielder mm-hmm. and Ederson that can get forward. I think that works a little better, but I think Ederson and Cup Miners are just a little getting each other's way, maybe a little too much. Yeah. I don't know. Just don't think it works as well. And Ederson didn't work well against Juventus at all in that one, but I think maybe that was the moment more than anything else, maybe, rather than what we can see. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I guess we need to.
The last thing I want to say about Ederson is that maybe there's a reason why Gasperini wanted him to be an attacking midfielder, like kind of like a Trequartista in the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. I think he didn't see the qualities. I don't even know if he was really brought to the team to be, you know, a Daron replacement. He's a central midfielder through and through. He's not just a Trequartista, yep. right? He has the qualities. He's a box to box midfielder. Yes. He's much more in the Freuler kind of vein than in the Daron central defensive midfielder. I think that he has tremendous upside. I think it's just going to take him some time to work his way in. And you know, the whole team has gone through a whole process. So it took Jeremy Boga, you know, a year to figure mm-hmm. out, like, mm-hmm. in these past few games, like, I would have won my bet in the last 3 games from that we had last season.
From, yeah, 5 assists and 6 goals now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I would have got that. And we didn't have that the entire second half of last season, which is kind of crazy. But anyways,
yep.
Great match. The offense is definitely there. Showed some defensive frailties. Hans gets a goal. Duvan gets 2 assists. Lucho looks great. Højlund looks great. Lookman looks great. Everything looks good. Bring on Inter.
Yeah. Just really quick. Sorry. Just looking at Ederson, because as you said, he is a midfielder. I'm just looking at the stats when he was with Fortaleza in Brazil's last year. I'm not prorating these or doing per 90 or anything, but he was top 10 interceptions, top 10 in blocks. And so like he has it. Like these are just raw numbers, obviously, but there's some defensive chops numbers in there that are noteworthy, even if it's the Brazilian league. So there's something there. Like you said, it could be a year process. The team's undergone a lot of tactical, philosophical changes even within 6 months. So I think we just have to hold out, and he's 23. So hold out and wait hope. So
he is our most expensive signing of the summer. So
yeah, correct.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you count Boga officially being signed in the summer. Well, no, I mean, Demerol. I think it's Demerol officially.
That's right.
Went over, but we kind of knew that was coming with the already. So
do you have a man of the match for that match?
I pick Zapata out of sentiment more than anything else, and a trip down memory lane, because I thought that was going to be his last game. But you could go a lot of different ways. Lokman maybe deserves the best shout with the brace, but I'll stick with Zapata on it.
100% Duvan. Look, Mola, you have a
Lookman's
lot.
Lookman's got a spare share.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah, spread the wealth out.
He'll be fine. Give it to the old man.
Yep.
Give it to the old man.
Old man, like the 32-year-old old man.
Yeah. Oh, Martin Darun said it best on social media after the Juventus game. He said, "You know, this is the only time you can say this is a darn. I wish we had beaten the old lady."
Yep.
But Nick, 3-3. I said it was going to be 2-2. You predicted a win. I rather you had been right, but it was a thrilling,
crazy
match. I feel like, you know, when we're talking about all these games, like, yep, we're back. You can see it. We're back. The craziness is there. This is three games in a row. We scored three goals on them at their house in 52 minutes. They had only conceded three goals at home the entire rest of the season, the beginning of the season. So we doubled their goals conceded at home. Obviously, they conceded five to Napoli. But Nick, I want to say that we had a good first 5 minutes that culminated in that goal against that Chesney kind of kerfuffled a little bit. Lookman put that past him. Starting 11, though, I digress. Let's look at who started, see if there's any surprises for us. Of course, we talked about the aforementioned surprise that the wingbacks were getting the same from the Spezia match. And so that was Hans and Mele. We knew that we were going to get the Trident, right? Boga, Lookman, and Hoyland. We knew Darun and Ederson had to be in there. Toloi, Palomino, Scalvini, Musso. Other than the wingbacks, probably no surprise, but seeing as it's Juve, probably put your most, you know, experienced wingbacks out there.
Yep. Yeah. I had a hunch when I was writing my preview. I thought, I think they're going to sneak Ruggeri on the left, but I'm really not surprised that Mele started on the left.
I'm glad he started.
Yep.
And he played. But we're up 1-0 within the first 5 minutes. And then, you know, we started really, really well. We started on the front foot. We had everything going. And we get the goal. And then the Angel Di Maria show starts.
Mm-hmm. The offensive show or the acting display.
Listen.
Both of those.
Listen, this is football. It's all the same. It's the Angel Di Maria show. And I mean, yeah, we got the penalty. He put it away. Whatever, right? I mean, initially it was no, and that was on Ederson. That was Ederson's tackle. Scalvini's tackle was perfect.
Clean. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it was Ederson kind of clunkily, and you know, ref said no. Looked at VAR. You have to give it. Mm-hmm. I would say I wasn't too pissed off about it. I just was really annoyed with Juan Musso because everybody and their mom knows Angel Di Maria goes to the other side. Like he always does that. I don't know why.
Ugh. Yeah. It's like if Lorenzo Insigne is kicking a penalty and you dive to your left. It's like he goes to the right.
Yeah.
Every time.
Every time Angel Di Maria goes there. And I'm like, are you kidding me, Juan Musso?
And they've trained together, national team, for maybe 3 years now, however long Musso's been getting called up. Yeah.
So 1-1. And then we just look like crap at this point. And of course, Palomino gets injured. Demerol comes in. And that was prior, I think, to the penalty, actually. But the Di Maria show, he does his clever little back drag, kind of back heel to Beans. Mr. Fagioli on the right-hand side puts in a beautiful cross, and no chance for Musso on that beautiful volley from Milik. I think it was Toloi who kind of couldn't get across in time. But what are you going to do? That's a perfect finish.
Yep, exactly. You're not touching that. You can get mad a little bit at Toloi, but
I was just shocked, Nick, because this is not the Juve that I expected to see. Like, they were high pressing, they were doing, and we were shell shocked for most of that first half.
A little bit, yeah. It was definitely they can win ugly 1-0 against Cremonese in the 89th minute, but they can turn it on, oddly enough, too, mm-hmm. if they really need to. And they'll play people anywhere. McKennie being right wing back, and they'll make it work. However, Alexandro playing center back now, which is strange, but I think maybe some of this stuff gives them a little more athleticism, where they mm-hmm. have Danilo and Sandro playing center back. They're supremely athletic guys because they're technically, I guess, fullbacks. So Danilo is maybe a little more of a center back, but it was an athletic team they put on the pitch, and they matched, like, they didn't match intensity. They were the intensity for basically the entire first half beyond that first 7 or 8 minutes.
And I mean, you talk about intensity, physicality, all those things. The ref was letting everything go, and Bremer was absolutely manhandling Rasmus Højlund mm-hmm. in that match. And like, I get it. Like, he's being kind of consistent, like, you know, and, you know, we would have our things on our end too, where we would do a little, but that was a lot Bremer was doing to poor Rasmus Højlund.
Yeah.
You know, of course he was getting upset, but I think for a 19-year-old, he keeps it together pretty good.
Yeah, he held it together well because, I don't mind the game being called a little less freely, have it moving and stuff. But there were some pretty egregious. It was like, do you remember when Bremer was up against Duvan for Torino last year?
Mm-hmm.
It was that same thing where it was basically just a repeat of that. I felt like, and Bremer's a physical guy, I get it, but there were a couple pushes, and I think Højlund got kicked in the back of the leg mm-hmm. one time. It's like, at least, you have to call some of these. I think I know you want to try to get the game moving, but there's some clear and obvious ones going down here.
Yeah. So I mean, we go down 2-1. I think we go a little bit more on the front foot, but we end the first half down 2-1. What are your thoughts at halftime?
I'm hoping we can get it together, fix it for something new in the second half, because, which I think in a way it was weird. It was kind of good it ended like that, because it obviously showed that a change needed to be made in terms of whatever it was, mentality or something, that what we did in the first half didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fortunate not to be down more goals, hopefully, at that point. And you feel good that Atalanta can claw at least one more back to get it even. So feel not great, but not like it's a dire situation by any stretch of the imagination. And clearly it wasn't with the way we came out in half two.
Yep. For me, I felt like we were getting destroyed in midfield. Like, just we were getting overrun, and then we were having trouble getting it out from their press, and we started kicking it long, you know, trying to just get it out there, and Højlund was running after it, doing a good thing, and then Bremer would just, you know, like, jump on his back, and the referee was like, play on, you know? Mm-hmm. So
just
I felt
his safe call. Like,
exactly.
He did that a lot, yeah.
I honestly just felt like we needed more bodies in the midfield, you know? So I was, in my mind, I was like, I don't know, push Scalvini into the midfield or something, mm-hmm. you know, do that. And I think you're right, like, you know, Scalvini didn't go into the midfield, but we scored 1 minute, you know, pretty much the first play as we kicked off the second half, and it came from Scalvini pushed up high, intercepting it. And what a great pass from Lookman to Mele, of course, who's the most advanced there. And he has a great finish past Szczęsny. I always tweet, like, you know, like my, you know, things that I tweet when people score with their names, like, really, really long. Of course, Mela takes forever because I keep having to press and hold A, so I get that AE thing.
Yeah.
But I thought he was offside. I 100% thought that VAR was going to call that offside. I was like, oh, I'm not even going to. And I'm like, what? And he was just onside.
Yeah.
I think it was Bremer who kept him onside. So that was fantastic. And that we started pressing. And then a few minutes later, great work from Boga to get it to Lookman for his second goal of the game. And we're up 3-2. Happy days.
Happy days. Yeah. What 8 minutes to score two goals. And then seeing Boga just work that side. Nice little cross. Well, amazing finish. Who knew Lookman could finish with his head like that? But I think in hindsight, I just would have wished that they would try to feed Boga more to take on McKennie playing right wing back. Like that was a matchup that they could have exploited all day. And he did a fair amount of it. But I guess McKennie and Fagioli was made to look foolish a couple times by Boga. But it would have been nice to see him get more down that cut left, get down onto the onto the end line to sneak more in that way. It could have been, well, what am I complaining? We scored three goals. Like, we scored three goals against Juve. But even more of that would have been nice. But those were two. I thought we were going to come out better, but I was shocked to see two goals in 8 minutes. And yeah. I don't think any Atalanta fan would have expected that, for sure.
Juve's tying goal. That, I feel like that was kind of a horseshit foul.
Oh, yeah.
To give that free kick. I felt like Darun was there. And who was it that ran into him?
Locatelli.
It was Locatelli. That's right.
Especially with the way the game, the ref's calling the game. Yeah. Like, Darun's there standing his ground. Locatelli literally kicks him to fall to the ground.
This is the second time in a year that Danilo has scored the game-tying goal against us, right? I mean, it was a lovely driven shot right down the middle. I'm not gonna talk about the wall, and I'm not gonna talk about Musso. I feel like there was probably something else a little bit off there. I don't know. It seemed pretty clear that that's what was gonna happen. I don't know. And I was like, oh, what? There's nobody there. Danilo was wide open. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think most professional footballers with a shot would have scored there. Given that was some poor marking.
Exactly. I'm gonna watch it to annoy myself more. But yeah, like hindsight 2020, obviously. But you're right. Like, and it obviously surprised them, because I think it was Di Maria did the dink little pass off, and then the wall breaks. Like you said, it's like, oh, what do we do? And you end up doing nothing at the end of the day. And there's that nice little easy path for him to squeeze through.
So we held on. I mean, it was a good match after that. And, you know, I don't want to talk ad nauseum about it, but I do want to talk about one thing that really pissed me off. That I didn't see too much on social media, but that goal happens. And Gasperini makes a change. Takes out Boga and puts in Pasalic. I just thought that was a very, very odd substitution. Bringing Mario Pasalic in for Jeremy Boga, maybe it was to shore up the center of the park a little bit. But I felt like we could have gone and won that game. We could have gone and lost that game too, of course. But Mario Pasalic was not good when he came on, and I don't think he had added anything to it. I would have much rather seen Lucho come in.
And see, or bring Jim City in and move Scalvini into the midfield or something.
That was frustrating.
Who knows what the strategy was at that time, but from that point on, the offense really didn't look like scoring again. And I think it was because Boga left. Lookman's he's fine, right? He's good. He's good as a left winger. But I just don't think he doesn't have the same impact as Boga. And the fact that Lookman is displaced from his position of strength right now, just made it that much easier for Juventus to defend everything that we could throw at them. I think the defense looked better, and maybe he's just playing for the 1 point at that point in time. Well, feels a little strange to do that, but whatever. Yep. A little unfortunate. I agree. I kind of forgot that Boga came off right then and there after the goal.
Yeah.
Kind of a puzzling timing looking back at it now.
Yeah, it was frustrating, but, you know, it's been, what, 7 matches that Juventus hasn't beaten us? So I think that's pretty good.
Straight matches?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, except the Coppa Italia final. But
let's not talk about that. Serie A. Let's talk about Serie A for fuck's
sake.
Sorry,
guys.
I'm getting Kulusevski memories here.
Mm-hmm.
Great thing in the game. Let's talk about Hans Hatzebue getting under Fede Chiesa's skin.
Yes. Beautiful.
That was beautiful. And then at the end of the match, Hatzebue puts his arm around him and is like, what's your deal, guy? Like, I thought that was fantastic.
I'm Atalanta's fourth captain. Come on, we'll go talk. You know?
Everybody else is gone.
Yeah.
Anything else to say about this match? I think it's a great result. I mean,
yeah, I think so too.
The way that we got it, I think, was good. Going down and then we at least got back up. It's exciting. It was good.
Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that, well, everyone who doesn't live under a rock knows Juventus lost to 15 points. This is the first game since it happened. I feel if Juventus wins this game, it's like a rallying cry in a way for them. And it gives them more of a us against the world mentality to go for John. But we squelched that simultaneously while picking up a point, which at the Alliance, which makes me very happy at the end of the day. So I'll take the point. Would have been nice to get 3, but you don't rue the day if you don't get 3 points against Juventus.
Yep. A very empty Allianz Arena.
Oh my God. Right? Like 50% filled, it felt like.
It's very, very, very.
Yeah.
There's more people at the Dacha these days than at the J. Anywho, your man of the match, Nick.
We didn't talk about him at all, but I went to Rune.
Oh, yeah.
For this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Darun was the reason why we looked so much better, especially in that second half.
He really carried out Ederson in that midfield, I think, in the second half.
Yeah. I think Darun has this way about him. And I think the fact that the ref was calling it a little light, not being so heavy handed, it kind of helps Darun's game a little bit.
Yes, I agree.
Because we know he's not the fastest, and you know he can be a little shovey and a little pulley. So worked out for Darun, but without him, I think we definitely would have gotten even more overrun in that first half, and we would have probably not held on in the second half. So good on you, Darun. But yeah, too bad we didn't get to beat the old lady. Speaking of beating things, we got Sampdoria at the weekend tomorrow.
Ooh, yes.
Talk about kicking a team when they're down. But Nick, we have to win this match, not just because they're second to the last and they're bleeding goals and they're in complete disarray, but because everybody else around us who is competing for Champions League spots has easy games as well, with the exception of Roma, who plays, has Napoli. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, given our recent, you know, run of form and their recent run of form, this should be a blowout. But I was just cracking up because Salernitana beat Lecce today. Lecce beat us and we killed Salernitana. So it's football is just a crazy sport.
Yep.
Nick,
yep.
Who do we need to see on the pitch to just finish off this Sampdoria team?
Yeah. And I did not realize until I signed on to start this podcast that we have Coppa on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So we have a pretty important match in a couple of days' time that Gasperini is obviously going to prioritize. Maybe not prioritize isn't the right word, but have give importance to. But I think it's been a week since we played. I think you go the same lineup that you would see if you were picking your best 11, right, at this point. So our front three that we know, Boga, Hoyland, Lookman, Cup Miners, Darun in the middle, Hatebor, Mele, Scavini, Demiral, Toloi. Like I don't pull any punches at this time.
Yeah.
If you score 3 in the first half, then you start subbing guys in.
Yeah.
To give people rest if you're concerned about the Inter match on Tuesday. But as you said, this is a pretty vital 3 points that you don't want to take for granted.
Yep. I mostly agree with you. I think we might see two changes for Samp, even though Gasp said that, you know, Atalanta needs to make Europe this year, so we're concentrating on Serie A. I do think we see Sportiello in goal. I'm benching Juan Musso's ass. If I'm Gasp, I don't know why. Juan Musso's getting on my nerves lately.
Did you read my Musso article? We could talk about it later if you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it next week. I want to I want to dedicate some time to goalkeeping. And by the next week, the transfer market will be over, so we'll know if we're keeping Sporty, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go a little bit of a deep dive into goalkeeping. Just my forte. So I think Sporty will play, and I don't think this will happen, but I'd like to see Lucho instead of Boga.
Okay.
I want to see that, but everything else correct, the same way. I don't know, Nick. I know you had a little bit of a sit down interview with Doriano, but so what was he saying in his interview? If you folks haven't seen it yet,
you have to feel like I'm reading it. It's an excellent piece. Like Stephen, I'm going to butcher his Polish last name, but Kasewicz, I believe, is how you pronounce it. You can just feel like it just tugging at his heart just with the way he's writing this and how disastrous it really is this year, not just the result in the field. I didn't really understand how much of a dire situation it is in the back rooms as well. And with the ownership, there's just a lot that they have to get right, because it would be a shame if they're probably going to go down, sadly, but it'll be a shame that there's going to be no team in Genoa potentially in Serie A next year. If Genoa was not able to get promotion from Serie B.
And if Spezia doesn't do any better here, there might be no Ligurian teams at all.
No Ligurian teams. Yeah. It'd just be weird enough if Spezia being the only team from Liguria in the top flight. But like, it just feels like they don't have Harry Winks came. So I think that's one area that he was supposed to come, like, I think like all year. And it just never really happened until January. But that at least gave them like a rock in the middle that they can build around, and it brings a little stability. But just nothing clicks. They don't have offensively. It just doesn't feel like anything. Well, they scored 8 goals, so nobody's gelling together. They're trying all these different combinations. Yep. Gabbiadini's not working out. Quagliarella, we know, like, you give him a pass a little just because of his age, and he's not really starting anymore. Chicho Caputo didn't work out, and then even Sam Lammers hasn't really brought a lot, it feels like, in the couple games he's been here, or he's been at Sampdoria since moving over from Empoli. It just feels like a team without an identity right now, and even coaching changes hasn't really helped in any sort of way, and they're just trying to tread water, and it's not really going that well.
Yeah, I mean, even with guys like Juricic and Sabiri, I mean, Sabiri also, you know, looked great in the World Cup, you know. You think on paper it looks like this would be a mid-table team pushing up, you know, like out there competing with like the Bolognas of the world.
Definitely.
So there's a lot going on there, but like I said, Nick, we have to win this, and I feel like we have to win big, and, you know, kind of quickly and pack it in and get ready for Inter on Tuesday. Which we're not going to preview today, because I, just like you, I didn't realize it was on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So we might have to do a special Inter preview.
Yeah.
Because this guy's got to eat dinner. So, Nick, predictions for this one.
I will go. I'll say quickly, as big as Sampdoria's woes have been, they haven't conceded more than 3 goals since October.
Mm-hmm.
So, but granted, they've conceded in every match, and they've conceded 2 goals in a lot of these games, but it's not like they're just getting clobbered. They're not getting just manhandled. But at the same time, they have in their last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 matches, they've scored in only one of those games.
Yep.
So they can't score. They probably score against us, though.
They will.
Right?
They will.
I think it's going to be 3-1, Atalanta.
Yep.
I'll give Sam Lammers scores.
Yes.
He's going to kick it off for them. I think Lookman gets a goal. I think Scalvini gets a goal. And I think Muriel comes off the bench and gets a goal in the second half.
I think this is going to be a big one. I think we're going to win 6 to two.
6-2.
Yes.
Brescia score line.
Brescia score line. Yeah. I think we're going to be up 4-0 at halftime.
All right. I just have to laugh. It's just funny.
Yeah. And you have to laugh because it might happen.
Yeah.
Right? I think Hoyland gets two goals. Cup Miners gets a goal. And I think Scalvidi gets a goal in the first half. Second half, Sam Lammers gets a goal right away. And then Sabiri has a great free kick. So it's 4-2. And then they just can't do it. And in garbage time, Lucho gets two goals.
Mm. All right.
6-2. No goals. Right. No goals for Lookman. I didn't say Lookman was. Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah,
no
you
goals.
Didn't give Lookman a goal.
No goals for Lookman in this one. It's enough, Mola. Let everybody, other people score.
Yeah, sure.
For a hot second. Mm-hmm. But I think we win 6-2. Why not? We'll see what happens.
Yeah. That's oddly enough, like, not a crazy score line to go out with. We'll give that one to Nick Diani. He can go get that one.
Tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Our buddy Nick from Kicks and Picks Pod. Yeah. Just take the over, buddy. Take the over on everything with Atalanta. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny. All right, Nick. Do you have anything else before we sign off and get this out on the airwaves before our match tomorrow? Prime time.
I don't think I'm going to be able to watch. I'll miss the first half, I think, but that's okay. Hopefully we have the four goals. And the second half is just easy laughing, watching. No, we don't even have any really transfer news to talk about.
No.
I haven't even heard Sportiello exiting. It hasn't been strong. And there's the rumors. Well, Hoyland Real Madrid has popped up.
Yeah.
Scalvini being associated with everybody, Bayern, Inter.
Yep.
But nothing strong and by any stretch of the imagination. So I think the Atalantini guys, they said that Gasperini in the press conference just laughed and said he didn't expect any, like, this is what he expected last summer, that January there would be no transfers happening. So probably just is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all still feel like we need potentially a central midfielder, but we'll see Ederson progress well.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Goals, 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 Nick. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yep. AtalantaPassione.com. Go check out my interview with Steven. And I was on a little tear inspiration wise this week. So I have quite a few articles up. So go take a look at those as well when you got the time.
And of course, you can follow me at @Atalanta_Vegas, the pod @AtalantaPod. And that's it for us. Forza Atalanta sempre. Ciao to Forza. Yes. E forza la Atalanta, vinci dai, non ti lasciamo mai. E forza la Atalanta, e forza la Atalanta, vinci dai, non ti lasciamo mai. E forza la Atalanta, e forza la Atalanta, vinci dai, non ti lasciamo mai. E forza la Atalanta, e forza la Atalanta, vinci dai, non ti lasciamo mai.